Kelly Templin, the city manager, joins us this morning. Thanks for filling in for the mayor today.
Oh, happy to be here.
Yeah, appreciate you doing that. We like to have a city manager in every once in a while, just kind of talk about projects, things that are going on out there. So this morning, Kelly was nice enough to come in. And let's talk about some of the developments that are going on. I know council's going to listen to a couple of new developments that are going to be taking place out in College Station. Tell me what the future is, do you believe, as far as funding for developments? Because the city, you want the developers to pay part of this, bring it into the, let development pay for itself, basically.
Well, as much as possible, yes.
Yeah. What kind of tools are out there and available, at least in today's economy and with the outlook that the city of College Station has as far as bringing in development?
Bringing in development or having development pay for itself?
Let's do that first. Pay for itself first.
Well, yeah. Pay for itself. Well, there's really nothing new under the sun. You know, there's, and we we talk about this, we're in the middle of budget season right now, so there are not that many sources of revenue. There's, of course, sales tax, property tax. There are, user fees, there are impact fees, and there's a lot of debate about that. A lot of cities have impact fees, a lot of cities don't, and that allows you to recoup some of the impact to your water system, sewer system, drainage, or even transportation system. So, it's a tool that's widely used, but you'll find towns that have never had them and towns that have had them for a long time. But again, as far as additional tools to help it pay for itself, this is actually a discussion we've been having at City Council, and there'll be something of a discussion of it, roundabout discussion of it Thursday at workshop tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a lot of discussion about it as far as, internally with staff and also with the council, and that'll continue Thursday. But as far as a new product outside of, again, those things, there's nothing new under the sun, so to speak.
Are we going to try to trend more toward impact fees? Because, again, that way it's not any kind of a tax increase. The people who are developing there are the ones who are actually paying for it, and since they are the beneficiaries, that has to be nicer for people on the east side of town, don't have to pay for something that may be going in the west
right.
side.
Right. Well, ultimately, that's a policy decision. We have some utility impact fees. We don't have a lot of that. As to whether that'll be expanded, again, there's some discussion of that, not a lot, but it's difficult to say what the council will implement. I haven't heard a lot of discussion about implementing that in the short term. Anything's a possibility out there. We're always looking for, of course, revenue to help offset that. So, as you said, the folks that have lived here 20 years aren't subsidizing new development. But I can't say as there is a concerted effort to put new impact fees on the books.
Kelly Templin with us this morning. He's the city manager. Main reason I wanted you to come in is let's talk a little bit. Your bond committees have met.
Yes.
Your city council has seen these scored projects that the committees believe work. A little bit of history. You had three different committees, basically facilities, parks, and transportation, to cover what the problems are that need to be addressed with this funding. Number one on the list from the committee was the new police station.
Yes.
For $28 million.
Yes.
That's a lot of money.
Sure
and
is, yeah.
Gosh, people who've lived here a long time say, well, they've got a new police station. It's out there. But
it's a little over 30 years old, but yeah. it's quote unquote new, yes.
So that's $28 million, and I think that people are concerned about roads they drive on and other things that happen, and mm-hmm. they hopefully don't go to a police station. So explain to me the justification for that kind of money for a police station.
Well, first of all, the rankings that you're citing, that was put together by the Capital Advisory Committee. That,
mm-hmm.
that was a group of 23 citizens that put that together. So that wasn't staff or council that prioritized the projects. I think if you're familiar, and again, I hope most folks are not familiar with the interior of the police station, but because of our rapid growth here, we've quickly outgrown the police station that we have. And, we've outgrown the evidence room, we've outgrown the patrol division area, what have you. We need some room to expand. We've got to decompress that building. There are a number of ways we could approach that, and one way is to build a new police station and then to repurpose the building that we have. That's sort of connected to the City Hall issue that you and I have talked about before. We might be able to use that building to house, a department or two and decompress the situation at City Hall. So as the city grows, the staff grows, of course, and our ability to react to those issues in the field, whether it's police, fire, public works, what have you, is dependent upon staff and resources. So we have to find some way to decompress the quarters that we have. If you look at comparable cities and the amount of space they have for their police departments, I have to say it was very eye-opening for me to find out that, Conroe had a police station that was three times the size of ours with a population of only 75,000. And the examples go on and on and on. It was, again, it was eye-opening for me. The results of that study were not what I expected.
So, and then we look at the other things, railroad crossings, Greens Prairie Road, as we're going to have, we have new schools that are being built out at the end of Greens Prairie Trail out in the Welborn area. So those are things that, that I think people might be able to comprehend. So the idea is how, now what has to happen is the council needs to decide what actually is going to be as part of this bondage.
Well, first mm-hmm. thing they have to decide is whether to call a bond election.
Okay.
And they have to do that by the end of August.
Okay. To be on a November ballot, right?
Correct.
Right.
That is correct. As a part of that, they have to decide what issues would be included in that bond election. They've not had that discussion. We've been having discussions leading up to that. And, of course, the Capital Advisory Committee did an excellent job. It took months for them to review all of that material, but a very dedicated group. And we're privileged to have the opportunity to work with them.
This is a city council that last year voted a tax increase in College Station. So they probably don't want to have a tax increase tied to this bond. What's the magic number that this bond can be without having a tax increase?
Well, we're waiting to find out exactly what that number is. And that sounds a little strange, but as you do all of your your numbers and you see how much debt you can take on, that really is a factor of, funds available, debt that we're retiring, et cetera, et cetera. So we're imagining that it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 48 or 50 million. Could be higher than that. So again, we're looking to see what that number is going to be. We're hoping it's going to be a little bit higher. And of course, what I'm talking about is the funds available to put toward these capital projects that will not raise the tax rate. So we met about that last night. We're continuing to meet about that literally on a daily basis so that we can tee this up for the council. And they're anxious to hear more information on this. So,
is it safe to say they do not want to have a tax increase tied to this bond?
I think it's safe to say they, as College Station residents and every other College Station resident, doesn't want a tax increase. I certainly don't. So I think, yes, that is probably their goal coming out of the budget, is to not increase the tax rate. But I think that's their goal every year.
So Kelly Templin, the city manager of College Station, joining us. So what will happen is they'll take this, whatever, $50 million, let's say, and we'll break it up into different parcels in the bond issue. It won't be just one giant bond. There'll probably be different elements of it.
Well, that's typically how it's approached. But again, that's completely up to the city council as to how they lay that out, whether it's one issue, two or three issues, whether it's grouped into different types of packages, facilities, transportation, parks, is typically how they're laid out. But ultimately, that's up to the council. If it's nothing but transportation projects, it could be one initiative. Or any one of the other categories. But council has not made that decision. And again, to emphasize, they haven't called a bond election yet, but they have about a month to make that decision.
So why are we talking about this? There have been bond issues before. They've happened. Some pass, some fail. But the legislature this year in Austin passed a bill called 1378.
Yes.
And it is a transparency bill, meaning that we need to be able to see what the existing indebtedness is of the entity that's floating the bond. If the city wants to do this, then they have to make this information either available on their website or through the controller's website in Austin, and that's all well and good. And that's one element of 1378. The other is that if you do float a bond, and let's say that there are three elements on that bond, if one of those elements does not pass, my understanding is you can't bring that up again for another three full years.
You can... I guess my understanding is you could possibly, have another bond election a year later. But specifically what 1378 says, and it's the very last provision in House Bill 1378, is that if anything in a bond election fails, the city is forbidden from issuing certificates of obligation to pay for that project for a period of 3 years from the date of the election. So we're still learning about this. Again, I think this was a late addition to this bill. So we have talked to our bond counsel about this. They have reached out to the Attorney General's office. And I think we were a little surprised to find out that this will apply to November's election and any issue on that election. The effective date of the bill says January of 2016, but the Attorney General's office has informed us that it will apply to issues on that November election, again, assuming an election is called.
So, in essence, what this bill does in Austin, passed in Austin, is that this council, this city, has to get this right, because if an element of it fails, it can't come back for a while. And if we're talking roads, for instance, that could be pretty painful.
Well, and, you know, as you pointed out, and we've had other discussions about this. You may not have an opinion about parks or city facilities, a police station, city hall, things like that, but everybody in town's got an opinion about transportation because we all experience the roads. I think there's a terrific emphasis the council has on transportation, and I think that's going to be a large part of any bond issue they may put together. That we've dealt with issues recently at City Council involving transportation and its impact on development and the developability of large tracts of property. So it's already impacting the ability to develop in College Station. And so council is very focused on that issue.
Now, in the past, I think that bonds basically have been put together with an element, let's say, of facilities. And then the second would maybe transportation, and the third would be parks.
Correct.
Could there be a crossing or a blurring of the lines now, that there would be an element for this road project to go with this park project so that, again, maybe all of it is more palatable, shall
we
say?
Well, perhaps. Part of the consideration with the mix of projects, particularly transportation projects that are being considered this time around, are road projects that will accommodate schools that College Station Independent School District is actually designing as we speak. And they're designing those schools to address the growth that the city is experiencing. So we're kind of in the same, we're in the same situation there. They have to build the schools to decompress their situation, and they have to have adequate roads, water, and sewer to be able to serve those institutions. They've already got schools planned for the area of Greens Prairie Trail and Reuter Road, and we have to make capital improvements in order to be able to accommodate that. If a bond issue election is called and those projects are included, we'll have to talk about the need for those and what's driving that, because you might drive down Reuter Road right now and not understand why that needs to be expanded. But if you could imagine, an intermediate school along there, you can imagine what the traffic impacts will be. So we have a lot of communication with CSISD, and so we're trying to move jointly together. We're not allowed to issue bonds together, but we can talk about those joint needs, and we will do that. We'll try to make that link. We don't have a road that needs to be built to serve a park necessarily. It's a lot of it is really to just to accommodate the growth of the city and the increasing traffic that we've seen because of our ever-expanding population.
Give us just a 101. What's the difference between a bond, a general bond, and a certificate of obligation?
Well, it's a general obligation bond is voted on by the electorate. The folks go to the polls and they vote to approve or disapprove a general obligation bond issue. So it's backed by the full faith and credit of the people of the city of College Station or whatever city entity. It could be a county, but it's backed by the voters. And you typically get a slightly better interest rate for a general obligation bond. A certificate of obligation is a loan. It's not approved by the public. And typically has a slightly higher, interest rate. It's kind of interesting for the city of College Station. We have an excellent bond rating. It was just reviewed again by Moody's, and we were left with that very high bond rating. But what we're looking at now is there's not much of a percentage difference in those interest rates for the city of College Station, but it can be more substantial for other cities depending on that rating.
So distill it down for us. What will this House bill that has passed mean to the city of College Station as they look at having a bond election?
Well, the majority of the bill deals with, as you mentioned, transparency. And truth be told, the city of College Station has just about all of that information readily available. I think what we'll do is try to put that in one place and make it more visible and easier to find. Our budgets are always published. You can get to them all, but those are substantial documents. And if you're not familiar with them, they can be difficult to navigate. So we'll make some of that stuff easier to find, but there's not a tremendous impact to the city for most of that bill because I think we have a lot of transparency. The real impact is that last bit. because this has been a discussion by city councils and city managers and their staffs throughout the state, because this was a little surprising. The idea that if you have a current need and for whatever reason it's not approved by the voters, you cannot address that for 3 years. So, and again, we're looking at improvements to Holloman, to Greensbury Trail, to accommodate schools. If we're not able to do that for 3 years from November, we'll have some serious traffic issues out there. So we have to inform the electorate make them understand why these projects are needed.
Kelly Templin is the city manager of College Station. Thanks for the time this morning.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yep.